Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the 7th of July in the year of our Lord 2000. Kylie Minogue's spinning around, Get Out of My Face, is out now and it's top of the charts in the UK. Chicken Run has finally dethroned Gladiator's seven-week Goldberg-esque streak on top of the UK box office. It is C-Day in the United Kingdom. From today, most commercial broadcasters begin broadcasting commercials, promotions and indents in 16:9 widescreen ratio. Oh, I was wondering if there was a specific time and day where we went, hang on, we should be widescreen now. And the big news this week is Mortal Kombat Special Forces sees a release on the PlayStation 1. So that everyone know the glory days are over for the franchise. But speaking of glory days, what was up with that tiny WWF promotion? Were they still around or had they been fully demoralised by the PTC, known as PTC's Family Fun Friendly Wrestling, as we know it today in the year 2020? Well, the answer to this question and many more can only be found on this very specific podcast you're listening to with the dulcet tones of myself and Mr. Tom Campbell.
Happy Tuesday to you, and for the last time in 2020.
Oh, really? We're not doing any of these again?
No. This is our last Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review of 2020. We wrap up the year here. We will return with the SmackDown review in the shiny new year, because from next week, we begin something a little bit different to tide you over to the festive period, as it is the return of myself and some good friends watching some pretty awful wrestling. Used to be called the 12 Duds of Christmas, has been rebranded as Watch Alongmas. Yay!
Yay!
What's Watch Alongmas, I hear you ask? Well,
Watch Alongmas?
Well, little Timmy, I'll tell you. So, you remember last year, myself, Matthew Gregg, and Justin Henry from the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review, we all got together and we had ourselves a lovely time talking about really awful wrestling matches and watching them, providing a commentary for them. But there are merely more. There are far more than 12 bad wrestling matches. I know. I was as shocked as you are. So we're back again for another year, but this time we're mixing things up a little bit. Not only will there be the triple threat of myself, Matthew Gregg, and Justin Henry, but we will have some episodes that will feature myself, Justin Henry, and a mystery third guest, and myself, Matthew Gregg, and a third mystery guest, chosen by the random guest generator. So friends that you may have heard from on this here podcast and on the Classic Raw Review over the past 12 months, you may hear their voices again very soon. Excited to be watching some bad wrestling, Matthew.
Oh, absolutely. I'm also looking forward to the mystery of the third man, which can only mean Mabel will be joining us live in studio. That's amazing.
Who's the third man? We'll find out from next week. Watch along, but basically you don't need to do anything if you listen to this podcast as normal. It'll just appear where the Classic Raw, the Classic SmackDown, Desert Island Grapps, where all those normally appear. It'll just be there instead. So it does seem weird wrapping up on the 8th of December, but then we've got like a week and a bit's worth of these beautiful watch-alongs to share with you. So we're starting next week. So Matthew, we wrap up the year and let's hopefully end it on a high. How are you, more importantly, sir?
I'm pretty tired, but otherwise, good.
You're a sleepy boy today, aren't you?
It's not due to any forward planning or anything like that, where I woke up and went, you know what, I think I'll be tired for the rest of the day. I've been having a bit of a cold that just won't sort off, as I call it, the Dolph Ziggler cold. And last night I decided I should take some before going to bed. And because you don't make the best decisions when you're ill, I just took the normal ones as opposed to, you know, the ones that are designed for when you go to bed. Because this one had caffeine in it.
Oh.
So I looked at my watch while I was trying to get to sleep, listening to things. And it was about 4 a.m. That's time I checked my thing. So, and I got up at 10. So the numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for you, Tom Campbell. How the hell are you?
I'm all right. I'm kind of getting in the Christmas spirit, right? A little bit more than we were. Because little things are now starting to happen to get me ready for Christmas. A lot of them work-based. A lot of it is Christmas presents arriving at the house. Stuff that I've ordered for the good lady and stuff to take back with me to see my mum and dad over Christmas. So Christmas presents are arriving at the Campbell Cottage, which is making me feel very festive. And also, it's dawning on me that in 2 weeks' time from today, I will have finished work for the year. Like, I decided I needed to use some holiday because, like, I haven't taken any holiday this year because the world's been on fire. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to book off the week before Christmas. Well, like the week in the run-up to Christmas. I never normally take time off over Christmas. I've always been one that's worked right up to the final hour. But I'm actually going to take a whole week off in the run-up to Christmas. And I'm really excited to actually be, you know, kicking back a little bit. And I mean, again, like, I, as with anybody that's booked time off from work during lockdown, I'm booking time off just to what? Sit around in my underpants for a bit. Like, it's the weirdest thing, isn't it? Have you found that when you kind of said, right, I'm taking a day off, and there's that weird work-based guilt that comes in because you're taking a day off, but you're not doing anything.
I think we've had discussions in the past when we've been meeting up, and I think one of the things that's come to me in my head, one of the things that worries me about dying is the fact that I won't be able to do anything.
So I know exactly how you feel your time.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I going to do after I'm dead? That's the thing that bothers us. Like,
is there
what?
A botchamania in heaven?
Right.
Do they botch
probably
in
one in hell.
But, do they even botch in heaven? That's the question. Heaven.
For me, heaven is Sin Cara versus Dink the Clown twice a day. You know, but so that's I fully understand what you're talking about, Tom. I have this guilt when I am on the very rare times when I'm not like doing work or processing stuff or getting stuff planned for when I have to be working. It's the brain doesn't like it, so I completely understand. You're even more work motivated than myself. So yes, God knows what it's like for you if you have a day off and you know.
I think
do you have
feeling
any plans
it.
For your day off?
No, none at all. I'm feeling the build up to it because by me wanting to bugger off from work from like in 2 weeks' time, like I want to get so many things in place and scheduled and done before I finish. So it just means that the next 2 weeks are just like full tilt. Like get everything done, record a million different things. I recorded 7 podcasts yesterday. I counted them all. I was like, what is going on? Like, there's a lot cracking on here. Some long days, but it's all days doing fun things with good people like yourself. So I can't really complain. I will do, but I shouldn't. Christmas!
Hey.
It's a weird one, isn't it? It's a weird one.
It is. And it's weird that you're saying this about, like, the work of here. Because, first of all, Christmas is not time off from work. There's a lot of work needed for Christmas. If you don't have a good one, if you don't have a crap one, it's a,
without any fear,
like falling off a log. But when I went to Amsterdam with my mates, which was 2018, that was the first time I'd ever been away just for the sake of like relaxing and chilling. I'd only been and travelled for like wrestling events or conventions things as like an end game. So yeah, I think it's been a while for myself now, and it's like, unless you count 2020 as some sort of bizarre holiday from hell type thing. I've seen on ITV at 9 p.m.
That's the glory of having Alex in my life, is that when we go on holiday, like there's no work. Like, and if I'm even hinting at possibly doing some work while I'm there, it's like, no, that's not why we're here. You have to stop. like nothing. Is there anything that's pressing? I remember one conversation as I sat in a jacuzzi in Spain. We had this place where I had a little bit of money back then, and we had this place which had a private jacuzzi on the balcony. I was like, yeah, I'm going to pay a little extra to have that. Thank you very much. And I remember sitting in it with a beer, and I was thinking about some work-related stuff, and I was telling Alex about it, and then she said, why are you talking about this here? I said, I don't know. It was just on my mind. Mm-hmm. And she said, if you don't do it till you get back, will anybody die? I was like, well, no, it'll be fine. Well, there's your answer. I'm going to get you another beer. I was like, okay, that's fine. So it does help when you're with somebody who isn't work. Like Alex is work driven, but she's also much better at me at switching off from work. Like she knows when she's on a day off to go, I'm not going to worry about work today. I'm going to do anything other than worry about work today. She's very good at that. And she's slowly teaching me her ways.
Oh, I might have to book Alex over this Christmas period.
Yes, please do. Please do. She'll be glad of the work. No. So let's talk about wrestling for a bit, because it's the last time that you and I will talk about SmackDown in the year of our Lord 2000 until 2021. Have you had any personal highlights from maybe not SmackDown itself, but at least our gatherings on a weekly basis, sir?
Tom, these will be one of the most consistently fun things I've done this year. Given everything else has been inconsistently bloody horrible, this has been a little lighthouse in a fog of poo. So the whole Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Test, Bulldog, Colonel XB joining us on a little adventure on the SS Kane, Photoshop John, to name but a few. I know those are just two of the big ones. You know, they're the Stephen Scodes to this podcast. There's been plenty of other people who have just tweeted. That time a few weeks ago when you forgot to tell me that you're going to add on a bit where, if you listen to the podcast, message Matthew and say, blamange. And I had lots of people message me, blamange. And I was like, what? Oh, it's Tom. All right. It's all been gravy. What about yourself?
For me, I genuinely think it's just been a lovely compliment to Cultaholic as a whole. I think it's important to say. I think in general, I've enjoyed. There's no other podcast. I mean, we obviously with Justin as well. I don't want to discount the work I do with Justin for the last couple of years.
No, go ahead.
But I thought you'd appreciate me doing this. I feel like I feel like I'm the kid at the service station being picked up by his dads.
Oh wow!
I know, right? For me, it is, I think, as you say, in all that has been pretty awful this year, one of the things I value the most is the friendships we've made along the way, is working with yourself and knowing that no matter how bad things are, like there's an allocated 90 minutes in the week where me and Matthew, no matter what state we come into this in, we'll leave laughing our heads off about something ridiculous, about something banal. And something that will probably get turned into a meme, if not by John Eiley, by Photoshop King John Eiley, but by Colonel XP. So there is a great sense of pride that comes from that. I'm proud of the little community that we've got in the wider Cultaholic multiverse. Like, I feel like you've got people that watch the YouTube videos, and then sometimes, I mean, even last week, I had somebody send me a message saying, you mentioned something about a podcast that you guys do. Where can I find it? I was like, well, it's right here. And I just imagine them suddenly discovering 40 odd episodes of the Classic SmackDown Review, 100 odd episodes of the Classic Raw Review, like opening an Aladdin's cave pretty much of stuff. So, and I'm really proud that we welcome new people in like that. But yeah, I'm there's lots to be happy about doing this shindig. And I'm excited to do more of it when we come back in 2021, because we're just a few weeks outside of my favorite pay-per-view of the year 2000. So we start strong with that particular one. And we carry on with one of the best years the WWF ever had, which is the year 2000. Mm. It was a great year, wasn't it, mate? It's a great year, within reason.
What a lovely dose of positivity to start off the podcast.
Yeah!
I know. Let's scupper it. what were some of the horrible things happening in the wrestling news, according to Mr. Davey Meltzer, Mr. Tom?
So before we hand over to Matthew Gregg to take us through the rigors of this week's episode of SmackDown, just to give you a little bit of a check on what's been happening in the wrestling world everywhere else. ECW is cancelled, Math.
Oh. Cancelled. Oh, what did it say now?
Now, this is cancelled in the old sense of the term, not in the angry Twitter sense of the term. No. So ECW is cancelled, as expected, by TNN, effective of the 22nd of September when its contract ends. This date appears to preclude any chance of USA Network having ECW ready to go on the air the Monday after WWF leaves, which was possibly a thing that was going to happen. So WWF is off to TNN. ECW is toast. And there was some hopes that maybe there might be something ECW can do with the USA Network, but that won't really pan out. According to TNN, they put out a statement saying ECW has failed to meet some of the criteria of the agreement that we had, including ratings, performance, and targets. We appreciate the efforts ECW and Paul Heyman have made to bring wrestling fans to TNN. Now, there was a lot of... there's a lot said on this in the ECW documentary that WWE put out, and how there was issues from Paul Heyman's side of it, which was that TNN weren't promoting them and were like openly discussing working with a rival wrestling promotion. And it's hard to kind of sort through the weeds on this one, isn't it, Mav?
It's so great looking at old ECW drama and backstage stuff with the eyes that we now know things, because there's so much positivity and outlook. Like, it's okay. TNN may have left us, but we still have USA Network to go on. And this was the mindset of a lot of ECW fans back then, because we were all drinking the Heymanade. No, the USA Network thing was never a thing. It was never going to happen. And if there was the distinct possibility of it happening, it had to be scuppered. By watching ECW on TNN and seeing Heyman cut a promo on TNN and blaming every negative thing about the show and about the deal they signed on the network that is broadcasting them.
That would put you off somewhat.
Yeah, of course it would. Just ridiculous. They have failed to meet expectations. I think it was that they promised higher rate, or said that they had to have certain ratings, and it was like maybe a 2.0. They average about 1.0 if they were lucky, which is why it's very funny to this day that even when they did the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD, and Heyman and all these other people, like, WCW was so bad at that point, ECW had a real chance to be the number two organization in America. And Bischoff's like, are you kidding me? That would be like Cultaholic saying, ooh, What Culture's numbers are down. Soon we'll be higher than Watch Mojo as a result. It's just, no. Anyway, so yeah, good old Heyman, good old ECW stuff. And there's still people who believe all this stuff that Heyman says, even though we know he's a filthy liar.
He really has been outed as such over the last few years in particular. But I think history will still... If you look back now with what we know, you take everything with... not even a pinch of salt, with a dump truck full of salt, with what Heyman says on DVDs and documentaries and stuff. Because it's like, Paul Heyman has even said, I swear on my kids and I'll still be lying. It's just, wow. So there's nothing off limits. That's incredible. So
what did he say, what the one wrestlers say on time? Like, he's like, I swear on my, like, on my mother. And he's like, his mother died years ago.
Elsewhere in the wrestling world, Johnny Ace has told All Japan that he's not coming on tour. He's expected to take a backstage job with WCW. Now, I mention this because it dawns on me that Johnny Ace, potentially about to start with WCW at this point, which he does. Would this, in hindsight, make Johnny Ace the most successful person from WWF's purchase of WCW?
Other than Rey Mysterio, the fellow high flyer, yeah, I think you're right there. I remember the only little thing about Johnny Ace's WCW run, because it was very brief, was, so it's like some wrestlers being like, well, very happy, maybe Johnny Ace will come in, he'll sort them out because of All Japan and whatever, and apparently he came in and was just a yes man, and they were like, oh, never mind. As if Johnny Ace was the man to save WCW at that point.
But it shows that they were really clutching at straws at this point. If they're like, you know what? Johnny Ace. He's the guy. New era.
Also, he had... he arranged when Hayabusa was in America filming scenes for... Oh, God, what was that film called? Backyard Dogs. Or whatever the hell it was called. he went up to WCW to see people, and Johnny Ace was like, hey, Hayabusa. And I saw some photos of Hayabusa having to be around in WCW backstage. And people were like, oh, Hayabusa's going to be in WCW. He wasn't. I'm not sure his one match was even filmed.
I have some news on some former WWF guys. Now, this is intriguing. Pride president Naoto Morishita wants to use Dr. Death Steve Williams and Bart Gunn on upcoming Pride shows. Brawl for All, coming soon. Did Pride. Do we get them in Pride?
No.
I couldn't remember if we did or not.
No. No, Steve Williams didn't do any... Bart Gunn definitely didn't do any shoot fights. So...
Not that I'm aware of. And one more...
You know what, I'm saying this as I'm typing.
Yeah, I can hear you going, no, he didn't. Clackety, 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 clackety.
Oh, he did do MMA in... Oh, beg your pardon. In a K... Bloody hell, K1 in 2004.
Oh. Go on, lad.
Oh, mate.
Get in there.
22 seconds against Alexei Egashnov. Ugh. God. Yeah, the... I don't know what happened with that, because people said in the past that Pride... Oh, my God. Bart Gunn did do Pride.
Oh.
I did not know this. He did it in 2006. He lost the decision to Ikuhisha Minowa. Oh, Minowa Man. Oh, I know who that is. Wow. Well, you know what? I apologize. They didn't fight each other, but... But at least he has a Bargonazo victory against Wesley Cabbage.
Wesley Cabbage! That's not a real person!
I actually know who that is, because I remember we were watching a UFC show way back in the day at my mate's house. And he's the guy who stopped Tank Abbott and then did the Tank Abbott 3-count dance afterwards to mock him.
That's incredible. Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm very glad for Steve Williams' health that he didn't try and do that in Japan, because he probably suspected what a lot of people in WWE didn't seem to realise. Like, if I lose, that's the end of me in Japan. There's no benefit whatsoever of him having a shoot fight with Bart Gunn and losing a second time.
No, absolutely not. And finally, Dennis Rodman is still being advertised as appearing for 7 wrestling shows in Australia between the end of July and the beginning of August. The 14-day Superstars of Wrestling Tour will feature Dennis Rodman versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Australia, you lucky buggers.
Awesome. That's IGF, I think. Anyway, Rodman Down Under would see... Get a DVD release.
Now, I do believe Brian Zane has done an excellent recap of this. I'm a massive fan of his work on that particular one. A rival promotion in Australia, however, is running a show in August using local wrestlers as well as former WCW star Blitzkrieg as the headliner.
Oh.
Some beefy wrestling going on in weird parts of Australia there.
There certainly is, and
Beefcake, Blitzkrieg.
Oh, they combine the two, like the invasion. Beefcake versus Blitzkrieg. The name of the company, and I'm very sorry for getting it wrong, and I'm almost glad I did. The name of the company was iGeneration, as in I-Generation, like it's Apple. Superstars of Wrestling.
Nice.
Well, it just rolls off the tongue.
It's a catchy old name, that one. It's a catchy old name. So that is the wrestling news for this week. I've got a few notes on the Dark events and Sunday Night Heat before SmackDown, if you'd like me to go through those.
Of course.
Amazing. Right. So we are in Florida for this one. The mayor of Davie, Florida. We've talked about him previously. Harry Venus He's wrestled a couple of times on indie shows. WWF are a big fan. They've got Rocky Johnson with him to play a managerial role in these certain indie promotions. He was announced as part of the show as a special guest. Was announced as the mayor of South Florida, very confusingly. He was attacked by Rodney and Joey Abs. Which tag team made the save for him, Maff?
Oh, God. The way you said this, I don't think it's going to be a good one. Oh, no. Is it Lowdown?
Mate, it's actually lower on the totem pole than Lowdown.
Lower than Lowdown?
Go lower than Lowdown.
Kai and Tai.
You can go lower than Kai and Tai.
The headbutt on the dead. Oh, TNA.
You can go lower than Test and Albert.
Tom.
You can.
I'm trying to do limbo here. A WWF tag team?
Yeah.
Okay. Were they full time?
No.
Briscoe and Patterson?
They were barely part time. Nope. Lower than Briscoe.
Oh, May Young and the Fabulous Moolah.
Lower.
No, Tom, no.
They were saved by the
Kane
Dubs.
And Linda. I almost told you to. Almost swore there.
Scott and Vic Dupp made the save. They had a match against the Posse, which was described as terrible by Dave Meltzer.
Wow.
On Sunday Night Heat, we had Too Cool beating the Hardys. Bull Buchanan beating Crash to avenge that King of the Ring loss. Thank God. Perry Saturn beat Godfather by DQ. Stephen Richards coming down to try and put a burlap sack over the hose. But Godfather jumped out to
save all of them.
All of them, one big. I can't tell you whether it was one big sack or multiple smaller sacks. But I know that Godfather tried to save them. Then Saturn jumped out to save them as well, because Saturn, he loves himself a hoe. And it all got a bit messy. Match thrown out. Also, Al Snow beat S.A. Rios with a new submission move finisher. That's worth knowing as well. And Bradshaw beat Midian and Gangrel in a handicap match. So that's Sunday Night Heat for you. It's a beefy Sunday Night Heat right there.
Oh, good. Well, that's the one appearance of the number one contenders, the tag team titles, just want to point out.
Who, Midian and Gangrel?
Yes, those two.
I knew it. We'll talk about Midian in this episode, actually. I've got something to say.
Yeah, I was going to say we will, actually.
We certainly will. So those are all my notes. Let's go over to Matthew Greg, who will talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown on UPN.
We certainly will, and we are in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is a weird name for a big city. Apparently it's named after a series of forts built by the United States during the Second Seminole War. Ooh. Fabulous Moolah was a sprightly 53 when that happened. And I really should be the last person to mock anybody's name of where they're from, given that I am from Bishop Auckland.
Or Bish Vegas, as it's better known.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's better. Not to be confused with the bishop of the same name. And no dramatic recap, so straight to the witty-wee, witty-woo, witty-wee, witty-woo. And we start with King Kurt. On Monday Night Raw, Kurt Angle interfered in Undertaker and Kane versus Edge and Christian for the tag titles to end the match via DQ to retain ENC's tag titles. Long live Team Eck. Angle says he wants to apologise. He's sorry to the fans who have to live miserable lives for not showing proper respect to the King of the Ring. Sorry to the old people of Florida who will soon all die and won't live long enough to see him win the world title. And sorry to Undertaker and Kane. He was just trying to help his friends. He knows that Undertaker has enough integrity to understand and move on with his life. So good. Chris Jericho is here to have a match with him, and we get reminded that he drop-kicked Triple H through a table last SmackDown and then helped Rikishi stink-face him on Raw. How nice. Jericho would also like to apologise to Stephanie. Actually, forget it. He doesn't want to, and she is still a scum-sucking gutter.
Changed it this week at pressure from up top to make it cleaner. He just changed it this week.
I was going to say, he then finishes with also no apologies to Triple H and the splinters out of his censored. So, yeah, I think they changed the gutter. That's why I mumbled that, because
he changed it from ho to tramp.
PTC can't come for us. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, the tramps will keep you away.
Well, it's hard for the tramps to get together, or whatever. you can tell it's doing a lot of good here when they're censoring some stuff like the butt and tramp. Stephanie shows up before Angle and Jericho start wrestling, and the crowd start chatting for a new wrestler called Slut. That's just dying for a PTC guy. Maybe the guy from Anchorman who showed up a few months ago. Come on, go. No. Shout Tramp. Tramp. Commentators say Hardcore Holly will be out 3 weeks with a broken arm, getting a new plate shoved in. 3 weeks?
He's not even
Wolverine. Bloody hell. No, he's out for months. 3 weeks is very optimistic. God. Though I do hear he's in a hospital with 3 toilets. Wow, that's crazy.
That's a hell of a callback.
I was telling Tom the other night, I messaged him because I was reading Hardcore Holly's book, The Hardcore Truth, or it should be called That Pissed Me Off, The Hardcore Story, because that's all he says every 3 pages. But I forgot, talk about when he did Operation Sandman, that TV movie with Ron Perlman, and his entire thing about the experiences, I was in a hotel with 3 toilets. Quote, that was crazy.
Oh, Holly, you and your penchant for multiple toilets.
Just takes a big whiz in this year. How do you like me now?
I'm going to whiz him all the toilets. How do you like me now? What a guy.
Apparently on Raw, before the time, this match starts, apparently Kurt Angle walked out of his tag partner, the Brooklyn Brawler, and Michael Cole is disgusted, which I don't understand at all. Like, Cole, do you understand that was a joke pick?
I don't think he got it, to be honest.
Yeah. Wow, what a fiend Kurt Angle is for leaving the Brooklyn Brawler hanging. They have a nice match here. It's nice seeing proper wrestling gradually getting more and more time every week. And we're now at this point where it's just a bit more every week. Rather like in Roald Dahl's Twits, where every day takes a little bit off the cane, or adds a little bit to the cane, I should say, to make it look like she's shrinking. Just every now and again, there's a little more minutes to these matches, and it's gradually getting this new version of wrestling fans that we'd live in, well, hate to this day, because now matches go on too long, now we need the reverse, but still, it's nice. But eventually, Stephanie low blows Jericho with Kurt's scepter, to stop the walls and allow Kurt to deliver the Olympic slam. Steph is happy. Any thoughts here on the opening bit of Raw? SmackDown, Tom.
Good match to open us up with. I think the crowd chanting slut makes me chuckle because you can change your language for the show, but you've already conditioned your fans to chant truly awful things. So you can't suddenly put that... It's going to take many years to put that Pandora back in the box, so to speak. Hang on, no, Pandora didn't come out of the box, did she? It was called Pandora's Box, but Pandora wasn't in the box. To close Pandora's
box. That's not true.
Box.
I mean, I don't know. I've never opened Pandora's box. I mean,
oh, it would be good I'm if sure you have opened Pandora's box.
You open the box and she jumps out shouting, Pandora!
she jumps out the box and she goes, oh, why aren't you using Spotify? That's a Pandora joke. Thanks very much.
Oof.
I tried to submit a podcast to Pandora.
Go on.
Which is how all good stories start. And I realised that it wasn't cool enough to. A while ago, this was. And it asked me for the freshness of the podcast. And it asked me how much clout it had. It was like how many viewers it already had. I was like, I just want to give you the RSS code and leave. They're like, nah, you got to prove that you're cool to be on Pandora. I was like, oh, well, I'm not. I'll go. Yeah, you better go, you prick. Sorry, Pandora. And that's Tom's story.
Did you start typing wrestling podcast, then you just went, oh, forget it.
I started typing wrestling podcast, and I got a 401 error for some reason, and I can't get back into the website.
Pandora went back into the box.
just Pandora didn't want anything to do with me after I started typing in wrestling websites.
Pandora went to the box, and then Cat the Shack went to get it out, and it was actually Terry Funk. That's one of those stupid lines. I wish Justin Henry was here because he'd laugh in all of his 56k dial-up fashion. it was a good match, but that's not the important bit. The important bit is that afterwards, Kurt Angle is so happy. He celebrates The only way an Olympian can, by throwing big piles of food on a strategically placed table backstage. Woo! I did it! Yay! Throws it all over his head, the milk, the suds, the cream, and it goes all over Undertaker's bike. Whose bike is it? How do we know it's Undertaker's? Well, luckily, Midian is there to do a walk-on roll and say, hey, Kurt, that's Undertaker's bike. And then Kurt does like a Yogi Bear where it's like, Undertaker's bike. It jumps up in the air and his little feet are like running. And
starts running before he does.
Little Kurt Angle, like, smoke dust thing. Jerry Lawler says, milk does a body good, but I'm not sure about motorcycles. Kurt Angle taxis out of the arena in his gear after realizing his lactose lapse, his dairy delusion, his creamy confusion. But hello, you. I'm Guru Larry. And today, we're talking at the top. Milk on bikes.
I love Guru Larry. I want to cross over with Guru Larry and Matt McMuscles in 2021.
I like to hear them argue because they're two of the nicest positive people.
Complaining about this podcast being too in. Let me remind you, yeah. It's free and it's Christmas.
Hi, I'm Josh Revell and this podcast is going down like a cup of sick. Anyway. Enough YouTubers. Anyway, Mick
Hello,
Foley.
Hello, I'm the Nostal. Oh, wait, no, we don't do him anymore, do we?
Oh, God. Anyway, Mick Foley, Commissioner, is here, and he wants an explanation from Benoit and Shane McMahon. Oh. Mick Foley lets us know that China spent the hours before Raw hanging out with Foley's daughter, playing with her hair, and then playing with her toys. I typed that wrong. As I put playing with her hair and doing her hair, whatever. And you, Benoit, did this to her. We get a clip from Raw. China stops Benoit from using the European title on Guerrero, so Benoit bonks her and then crossfaces her. And you can hear the audio of the Raw crowd cheering, but Mick Foley says this is really heinous, so we'll pretend they weren't cheering. Benoit makes Mick Foley sick. And then later on that very same Raw, The Rock versus Shane McMahon ends after about 10 seconds with Benoit chair-shotting The Rock and then stretching him out too. Mick Foley says he knows Benoit is one of the best wrestlers he's ever seen. But he also doesn't see compassion and wants to know, why, Chris? Why? We'll all think that in a few years' time. Benoit chants, Benoit sucks. And Chris answers, you don't see any compassion, Mick, because I don't have any. And also, I'm the best technical wrestler in WWF and also the best technical wrestler in the history of WWF. Prove me wrong. Benoit wants the title. So he wants the people's champion, and his actions will speak louder than words. Thank Christ. Before Mick Foley can answer, E and C show up to kiss up to a fellow Canadian's ass, and the crowd boos the residents of Mexico North. Michael Cole says Benoit kicks butt, Edge and Christian kiss it. Good line from him. Mick Foley says, we're not in Canada, we're in Fort Lauderdale. The crowd goes, yay, that's where we're from. Mick Foley makes it a six person tonight with Beck. That's Benoit, Edge, Christian, versus Guerrero, China, and The Rock. Ooh. I think that
Ooh.
This was...
Yeah, whoa!
Anyway, yes, this was a... Before we were off the rails, this was a fantastic segment because Benoit looked and sounded credible. Mm. Probably the most he sounded since joining the WWF. He's ditched the IC title, and usually that's a sign like, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs, but it's actually he's lost it so he can go up the card. And now he's just stretching people. Now he looks like a force to be reckoned with. Now he's just attacking people and stretching whoever he wants to and saying, look, I'm the best. Prove me wrong. It's nice. He's simple. He's not good on the mic. But they're giving him a few words to say and he says them well. And then that's it. The crowd just sucks. Benoit sucks. Benoit sucks. Mick Foley was on fine form here.
Oh, brilliant.
Really getting you emotive because China isn't at that level where you care about her that much. Where, like, oh, she got attacked. It's like, well, she should be in the ring then. But Mick Foley saying, she was playing with my daughter. They were talking about men. They were doing the things that girls do. And then you did that. It's like, whoa, Benoit. Whoa, you're a dick. So Mick Foley is really helping the angle right now. So what did you think of this?
Superb. I think Mick Foley all night is peak. He's brilliant. He's in promo land. He's passionate about it. And There's a, when Mick Foley is on, he is genuinely one of the best. Like, he is able to, and he's a big part of why Benoit was getting over at this point, because of things like that, where he's both slating him and putting him over at the same time. And Foley was always really good at that. He was able to walk that line of, you know, selling that he could beat you, but also getting over just how dangerous the opponent is. And that's seems like that's basic 101 wrestling, that is. Like, you know, there's nobody would buy a ticket to see you beat up a nobody. You know, you want people to believe that there is some fight in there and there's a challenge there. And Mick Foley was always excellent at that. And Mick Foley, now he's retired. This is such a lovely role for Foley because he gets to stay in the business that he loves. He gets to rest his body completely and he gets to still cut promos, which is something that he always loved to do as well. So this is a great Commissioner Foley. The Commissioner Foley role is excellent. And this was a brilliant bit here.
God, we really go like back and forth with this. Like, wow, what a great promo. Isn't that right, Guru? Like, yes, Triple H arrives. Where have you been all this time? I've been watching Odd Header. Did you know that there's these models in the Final Fantasy 14 game that weren't... What? What do you mean a match with Kurt Angle? Kurt Angle? You were near Kurt Angle? And then his demeanor changes and he's like, oh, I don't like the idea of Stephanie hanging out with Kurt.
Whoa. There might be something in it, but there might be something between those two. But that's just a theory. A game theory. Oh, God.
All right. You could get attacked by Kurt, you know, like a smart attack.
Hey!
Wait, like is that the name of it?
Like a screw attack. Oh, wait, no. They're not a thing anymore. Matthew checks if screw attack's still a thing.
Yeah, wait a minute. No, I didn't mean smart. Oh, wait, what's that?
This is an art attack.
What is it called?
This is... Bear in mind, this is the Christmas episode, so we are being a bit silly. We've not had a drink.
Oh, yeah. Come on, there's all the serious ones. Well, no, I've forgotten the name of it, so I'll move on. Triple H arrives and says all the things, and he goes to see Commissioner Foley, like Milhouse's dad. I don't like the idea of Stephanie appearing in two Kurt Angles in one day.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oof, well, cut that out, Tom.
Nope, leaving it in.
The Dudleys. Oh, Christ. The Dudleys versus the SmackDown debut of Lowdown. Very appropriately named. D'Lo and Chaz show up to no reaction, no tag name, and still using D'Lo's music. But they have new gear, which doesn't complement D'Lo's physique at all. But don't worry about the rough debut of this tag team. Tori has a bad shoulder, but it's not bad enough to prevent her from appearing at WWF New York and start signing autographs.
With what hand, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you've got a bad shoulder, it's horrible squiggles. He's holding the pen like a dart.
I just write a big T on them.
Whatever.
Just scratching a letter T into the signed photos.
Just signing pictures of Devon Dudley. She's not even looking. Like, oh.
Just thanks. Paying attention.
Great. And I'm all for making a new tag team with two mid-card dudes who aren't doing anything. But even I have to be a bit suspect about D'Lo Brown teaming up with bloody Chaz. I mean, it's nice to show loyalty, but
well, they're good.
Chaz.
They're good friends in real life, and neither of them have got anything really going on, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, we get a bit of background. Cole says they're mad at the fans for turning on them and not supporting them, which I can understand about Chaz because without the skirt, no one knows who the hell he is. But I don't know why they turned D'Lo heel. He's still getting cheers when he had that good match with Benoit. D'Lo and Chaz get some nice moves in, including a dive to the outside by D'Lo. D'Lo misses the lowdown, so the Duds set up the table. There's a double down, and then the right two sets of music kicks in, and Steven Richards takes away the table. Like, he literally takes it and runs away with it. Bubba goes, looks and goes, where's the table? And goes to get another one. So while that's happening, they take a double team from lowdown, and obviously that's a pin. Oh, no, don't be stupid. Devon kicks out because he's like, I'm not losing the bloody lowdown. So then they get up and hit the 3D and then they end it. It segues into Steven Richards telling Tom's mate, Kevin Kelly, that he's going to continue censoring tables and naked women because the viewing audience doesn't know what's good for them, but I do. And I've just typed here, PFFFT, my reaction to that statement.
Why? I like it.
Because it's funny. It's funny how, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, insecure they are about this. About the, how they are having that censor and cutback stuff. And they're saying this on the same episode where they're also censoring out ass and whatever Jericho used to call Steph. Like, oh, look at these people trying to censor us as we're being censored because we also want money from, you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
That's pretty standard of WWE to play that card, though, isn't it? It's the old
absolutely.
You know, if Vince was a secret agent, if Vince was a private investigator, he'd be Petty Wainthrop.
Sweet Jesus!
Hello, you. Let's go back to what we know. Chaz and D'Lo, they're playing the same old hymn, which is, the office doesn't respect me, I deserve respect. That old chestnut, which was something that Val Venus was doing. And in fact, it's something that pretty much every major mid-carder at some point will probably get lumbered with, whereby they just go, oh, no one's paying attention to me, I deserve respect. And that's the whole thing with Chaz and D'Lo. They come out of the match starting like looking a bit babyface-ish, and as the match goes on, they get a bit nastier, and then I hear Michael Cole say, these two are bitter. They keep saying they deserve respect. I was like, they're heels. Very generic heels, but heels nonetheless. I didn't mind them as a team. I'll be honest with you. I quite liked them as a team, you know? They're a bit bland, and the direction they go in is completely wrong, but there was something there at this point, I think.
I don't necessarily... It's not that I dislike the tag team. It's that it did nothing for D'Lo. D'Lo in a singles match had that match with Benoit a few months ago, and now he's in a tag team match losing with Chaz. It's like when you see your mate in a relationship with someone, you know that they're no good for them, but they're happy, so you don't want to say anything too much.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, you don't want to upset them by going, he's a bit of an ass. I don't know why you're bothering, because they're having a lovely time.
Yeah, but then when they do split up, you're like, oh, thank Christ. But never mind that. The Miami Dolphins at ringside. They play for the NFL. Ah, who cares about them? The XFL hits Orlando.
Hell yeah! The Orlando Rage, they were called in the end.
Gosh, what a name. XFL hitting Orlando. I don't know, doesn't sound like a promise. That sounds like a threat. Never mind that. Triple H goes to see Mick Foley in his office, and Triple H wants Jericho. Foley says, nah. And he turns from silly Foley to serious Foley and says if he threatens him, it'll be $5,000 for each punch he throws at Foley. And if Triple H tries to get the match with Jericho fully loaded, Foley will make sure his days of main eventing will be over and he'll book Triple H in every circus he knows that comes to town. But then eventually settles down and agrees to let him compete in a handicap match tonight. And if you win that match, you'll get Jericho on Raw. And if you don't, then you just have to wait till fully loaded, won't you? Mick Foley cutting these wild emotional promos is nice, but I don't think we need them in every segment he's in. You know, we just got a really good one with Benoit, and then suddenly he's like, if you hit me, I'm like, all right, Foley, we love you. Sorry.
They're diminishing returns, but saying that, I liked this one. I like the idea that it was because people have been watching WWF for so many months now, where Triple H and the McMahons have just run roughshod, and now the penny's on the other shoe, and consequently now they're the ones on the receiving end. And I like the lines from Foley; I thought they were good. I thought they were impassioned, but yeah, it was something we'd seen something similar about 20 minutes before. Is the only thing, and it's you could have paced that a little bit better. But it was still a great visit to promo land for Mick Foley. Talking about how much he respected Triple H, how much he wants him on WWF, but he doesn't need him. You know, he's going to bury him and book him in small territories and book him at circus wrestling, carnival wrestling shows, all this stuff. I thought they were really cool lines. Like power plays. I like them a lot. But yeah, too close to the great stuff he did with Benoit as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we disagree about my favourite wrestler of all time. So why am I saying these things? where are we at? Oh, never mind that. Let's shift gears slightly. No, not another Guru Larry thing. Here's Ivory and Jackie. That's right. Coming out together because Dean Malenko got attacked by them on Raw. Oh, wait. Here's Dean Sexy Malenko with two women on either arm. Yeah, the ladies love the light heavyweight champion. His opponents in this handicap intergender match, we've seen sexy Dean Malenko taking on Ivory and Jackie. His opponents swarm Dean as Lawler yells, there's intergender flying all over the place. I like that line. Fast handicap action with Dean getting a poke to the eye of all things. The fake crowd noise o-meter is wild during this epic encounter. Who expected anything else? Eventually, Crash Holly grabs Dean's foot and they do the Warrior Rude finish from WrestleMania. the women pinning Dean. The women batter Dean with his title afterwards and leave. I don't know who this was supposed to help, if anybody. Maybe they're making such bad matches on purpose that Crash Holly is the second biggest babyface behind The Rock when he comes in and ruins it, as seen at the Patterson Briscoe match at King of the Ring.
He's like a very small 911. From ECW days.
111.
118118.
Yeah. Non-threatened emergencies, please call Crash Holly.
I enjoyed the brief, solid techers by Ivory and Dean Malenko. At the very beginning of this match, there was a brief exchange between Ivory and Dean where they did sort of catch-as-catch-cad grappling. I was like, yeah, I appreciate that. And there was a couple of good spots in here, and it was, I guess, we're building to Crash versus Dean, or Dean versus all women, maybe. Strange.
Yeah. All right, you're a man who loves his women. All right, well, now you're going to wrestle and get beaten by them. So, right.
And what
maybe
then?
This is like when they have, like, low-down start. No one cares to begin with. Maybe this will build up to something. It probably won't. But it is weird how WWE really likes putting together light heavyweight wrestlers and women.
Yeah, like, they do.
Okay. They're pretty much the same thing. No, not really, WWE. Anyway. Rikishi versus Val Venus. The feud continues. Oh, good. This is an IC title match. Rikishi still being the champ. Which is apparently his wooden spoon for not winning King of the Ring. Allegedly. We don't get any replays of the epic feud so far, strangely enough. But instead of the drama, the blood, the violence, the table shots, the dive off the stage, Jerry Lawler talks about Trish Stratus looking better in a cowboy hat than Jim Ross. So I've still got the priorities in place.
Priorities in right for him. I know Michael Cole mentioned the dive off the stage, but it was for Jerry. It was all about oh look at Trish.
Yeah, that those PTC people are bastards. Whoa, look at them curves. Referee stops a chair shot straight away, so Val and Rikishi continue in the ring with the referee getting dunked. So TNA show up to hit a test elbow, but it's test, so he recovers. And Rikishi shows off how little that did by... They do the thing where he pushes out the pins so strongly that Val Venus jumps up and lands on the referee. This is after taking a test finish.
Got to keep Rikishi strong.
Absolutely. Steph, how do I... Oh, I can tell when I wrote this. Steph, how do I disable fog in South Park 64? You can't test. It's part of the game. Oh. Steph, how do I return the game to Blockbuster?
Steph, what were they trying to achieve? What game is Test getting for Christmas for the N64?
No Mercy 64.
Hey! Wrong answer. He's getting Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. But you said you like Star Wars. Yeah, but this is rubbish. This is rubbish Star Wars, Steph. Steph.
Oh, Jar Jar.
Who's Dash Render? He sounds rubbish.
Albert shows up with his enormous head. It's all right, Test. I got you a game. Oh, thanks, Albert. You love me. Donkey Kong 64. What a nice man. Puts his N64. You need an expansion pack to play this. Oh, Albert. Expansion pack.
I knew you needed an expansion pack. I'm just a dickhead.
Now, Albert goes, expansion pack? Oh, Test. That's what the kids used to call my head at school.
I can't play Donkey Kong. I don't want to play Shadows of the Empire. So I'll just play Wave Race again. Poor Test. Steph, will they bring out Fighters Megamix for the N64? No, because I want to play as the AM2 palm tree.
Yeah, Test is actually a really stupid nerd. He's like, why not Nintendo released games on the PlayStation?
Steph, when's Sonic coming out for the Game Boy? In 2007. Oh, okay. That sounds unheard of.
I'll just sit here and wait.
I'll just play Beetle Adventure Racing till it gets here.
I'm going to win as George Harrison. I couldn't afford to get a game for the PlayStation. All I got was this crappy demo of Crash Bash.
Not to worry, Test. Actually, using this helpful code, the entire game is actually on the demo disc.
Well, really?
That's right.
That's amazing. I'm going to call all my friends and tell them I've got Crash Bash.
I have a feeling that Test was working for PlayStation when that fumble happened. Now, Test, did you load the Crash Bash demo onto the demo disc? Oh, wait, no! It wouldn't have been Test, would it? This is not a plot device for Test.
Who's that a plot device for, Tom?
This has to be a plot device for Kane, doesn't it? This has to be a plot device.
Oh, I can hear the music already.
My first day. Oh, my first day at Sony. Oh, it's lovely to be here. Now, Kane, your first job is to load the Crash Bash demo onto the demo disc. Okay, load Crash Bash onto the demo disc. No, Kane, listen again. The Crash Bash demo disc. You said demo twice, but that's fine. I know what you mean. How was your day, sweetie? Why would he be this specific with Linda? How was your day, sweetie? I put Crash Bash on the demo disc. Surely you mean the Crash Bash demo on the demo disc. Huh, you say it funny, the same way they did. Well, good night. Kane! Now everybody is going to play this bag average Crash game. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
And the look is like, well, what did you do, Kane? And he goes, well, I made sure they couldn't get past the bit. And they look, and it's just the disc, but it has a little handwritten note that says, please don't go past level 2. Signed, Kane.
That'll stop them. If technology won't, their conscience will. I feel like we should do a Christmas that's got to be Kane, though.
Oh.
Okay, a Christmas episode of That's Gotta Be Kane with me. Oh, I'm done wrapping my presents. I bought a new Bible for my deeply religious mother-in-law, Belinda, and a sexy nun outfit for my wife, Linda. Now, I will write my wife's name on this one, Linda. Now, I'll start writing my mother-in-law's name on it, but I'll, for some reason, start with Linda. Now to write the B and the E at the beginning. Ding dong. Oh, there's someone at the door. I'll just go and get it. 3 hours later, a lovely chat with my neighbour about their dog. Anyway, oh no, which one was it? If only I'd written the B and the E first. I've confused everything. Christmas Day, guess what happens? What do you think happens on Christmas Day, Matt?
I'm just leaving the audio gap so Conor XP can edit it properly. I don't know, Tom, what happened? Does Belinda and Linda show up at the same time?
They do. Here's your present, Linda. My wife. And Linda unwraps it. And here's your present, Belinda. Belinda unwraps it. Belinda goes, oh, a Bible, thank you. And Linda goes, oh, underwear, thank you. Oh, I got it the right way round. That could have been a hilarious situation. Kane, is the turkey done yet? Uh-oh, spaghetti! And that's the twist.
Well, to be fair, I had a 50% chance of getting it right.
the numbers were in my favour.
Hey, wait. Kane, what did you stuff the turkey with?
SpaghettiOs!
Oh, Kane. You silly f***.
Oh, and we're only halfway through Val Venus versus Rikishi.
We're halfway there, living on a prayer.
That's right. So after that amazing kick out and segue, Too Cool show up to brawl with TNA to the back, but Rikishi has some issues with his strap. So Taz takes the opportunity as he's fixing it to run in and hit him with a camera, allowing Val Venus to nail the money shot to win the IC title. It took Trish, TNA, Taz, and the camera to help Rikishi.
There was five of them. It took five of them.
You got to keep Keith strong, ain't you?
Absolutely. And last week I said, Taz has a new look with the orange shirt buttoned up. He almost looks like he's an office worker from hell. Now he's got the full body thing. And now, you're right, he is the bin man from hell. But he's only little, so it's a pedal bin from hell. This is just part of the ongoing Rikishi-Val Venus feud. I enjoyed it. But I'm looking forward to the match we get fully loaded as a result. What did you think, Tom, if you remember what the match was like?
I thought it was a good match. You can tell that like Rikishi is not one for losing. He isn't one for losing matches. He's not a fan. Like we talked on the King of the Ring watch along about how stroppy he gets when it comes to losing. So I can't help but feel that all these run-ins and everything else is merely to placate him in losing the Intercontinental Championship. So I'm not getting a great picture on Kane, I think.
On Kane?
Yeah.
On Rikishi?
Yeah, on Rikishi, sorry. That's got to be Kane.
That's got to be Rikishi. Kane is out of a Steph infection, so the...
A Steph infection?
Today's Kane will be played by Rikishi.
Yeah, it took everything in the world and a test elbow to put Rikishi away here.
Yeah. I like that they are protecting Rikishi because he is hot at this moment in time. So it'd be silly to have Val Venus, you know, get to the same level while taking him too far down. Makes sense to me. But backstage, T and A and V celebrate with a little bit of the bubbly and they make sure not to drown Taz with the suds. Next up, Big Boss Man versus Steve Blackman for the hardcore title. Fire extinguisher gets used, but it's surprisingly dull, to be honest with you, until Blackman gets sent into the crowd, and then Al Snow, incognito, twats Boss Man, and Steve retains after a kendo stick shot. That's all I wrote about this match. Do you have anything else, Tom?
Blackman showing off being the hardcore legend here. The Blackman era of the hardcore title is my favourite era of the hardcore title. Massive fan of his work here. Al Snow getting amongst it is an interesting little twist. Yeah, fine. Hardcore plunder. Happy days.
Midian backstage tells on Angle because he's a get. Undertaker is mad where he almost punches out Midian. And he goes, whoa, don't shoot the messenger. And Undertaker, whoa, the steam coming out of his ears and everything.
We talked about Biker Taker quite a lot. Can we talk about Biker Midian?
You ever hear the story that if Andre the Giant wasn't able to get to the ring for WrestleMania 3, that Paul Orndorff was on standby, just in case, because Andre was that paggard?
Yeah.
I like to think that Under Midian was there, just in case Undertaker couldn't make it.
He's there backstage at King of the Ring 2000, like, revving up his moped. Just in the event that Undertaker's not getting involved.
And no one mentions it. They just act like that is actually Undertaker. And see how long it takes people.
It's the Undertaker! Just roll with it. And anybody that says otherwise, you just block them.
Yeah. Sadly, Undertaker won't be speaking, moving, or doing anything that requires effort, but it's definitely him, folks. So, wait a minute. This year, he's been Mankind, he's been the APA, and now he's the Undertaker.
He's a very talented man, is Dennis Knight.
Yes. He's gonna have some time to stay around this long, so I've been bloody awful.
Yeah, well he was on TV this year.
Oh yeah, right. Oh sorry, 2020, you're right. Yeah. It's the Godwins.
He was him and Henry Godwin turned up. Undertaker's final hoo-ha.
The whack of the night. Whack, as in wacky tabacky, is Undertaker's last ride on Christian, which this big old powerbomb now is a name. And this means we get Kane and Undertaker going to the ring, but sadly, not with Undertaker riding his bike. He walks instead. I think a man like Undertaker should have rode the bike whilst, like a real man, still covered in milk and with like little bits of cereal and hula hoops on his ass. I act like nothing's happening. You've done it now. And he's just slipping away, falling off his bike, crashing in the ring.
You've gone and spilt my weed of bix.
They're taking on TNA because we haven't seen enough of them this episode.
Yay. Flipping out, mate. Memes colliding. Kane and Test.
Right, I've got... oh, boy. Linda will be happy I'm getting involved with a long-running cultaholic podcast joke. And then Linda asks, oh, you're wrestling Bulldog? Uh-oh.
I like to think that Kane ran up to Test backstage and went, Test! Oh, let me do it. Steph, Obscure N64 game. And Test is like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. And Kane's like, you know, like the podcast. Test is like, it's the year 2000, Kane. What's a podcast? Well, the one that Matthew and Tom do for Cultaholic. What's called? Are you drunk, Kane? No, they do a joke about you. Who's doing a joke about me? Well, they do a joke where you play a lot of N64 games and you like you'll go, oh, Steph, how do I play this? Well, you have to hear it to understand it. It's very difficult to explain. Tom tried to explain it to his partner the other night and it fell very awkwardly quiet. So we just carried on watching Elf. Test goes, Kane, why are you quoting something that went on in Tom's real life through an impression of yourself in the year 2000? I don't know. I've gone down a rabbit hole here. I'm hoping Math will pull me out and carry on talking about SmackDown. No? No. Okay. Well, do you know who Guru Larry is? Who's a good... What's Guru Larry? I don't know. He's a YouTuber. What's YouTube? This is 2000. Is it like WWF.com? No, it's not as good. That's gotta be Kane. It's like, what's gotta be Kane? No, it's a joke from the... You still haven't told me what a podcast is, Kane. Oh, it's like a radio show, but you get it on iTunes. What's an iTunes? Oh, it's like CD players. I don't know. Linda, help. Put me back in the TV. Colonel XB, edit this bit quick. Play the music quick. Kane, who are you talking to? I'm talking to Linda. Linda's working in the office in Stamford. No, my wife, Linda. She's not your wife, Kane. She's not your wife, Kane. She's our boss. No, we're married. No, you're not. You, Glenn. Yeah. Glenn, mate. Glenn, you've got a wife at home. You live in Knox County. No, I live with Linda. And embarrassing things happen. And I go, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. Kane, you're not well. Kane, Linda's married to Vince. No! And then Kane wakes up. Oh, what a nightmare. Oh, I had this horrible dream. The dream sequence was the only way out of it.
Linda, I broke the simulation again.
Can you restart it? Where's my title shot? You've gone too far back. Oh, that was existential.
Wow, that was beautiful, Tom.
Thanks, mate. I feel a bit sick now.
Yeah.
So, TNA versus Undertaker and Kane. What happened?
Yeah, that's definitely going to follow that. Gene wearing Undertaker refuses to sell for everybody. Kane at least sells politely for Albert. And then just pins him after a chokeslam. Then mad milk-filled Undertaker gives a very impressive last ride to Test. Mm. Almost as impressive as Tom's soliloquy, but it's up there. Kane then tries to chokeslam Trish Stratus for some reason, but then IC champion Val Venus saves her. Bloody hell, Val Venus, stop shooting above your weight. The IC title is definitely giving him a boost. The type of boost that you can usually only get with RC Edge Maximum Power Cola 2 Turbo Championship Edition Vroom Vroom Car Noise. Which presents Triple H getting stink-faced on Raw. But who cares about that caffeine for kids? Which handicap match do we get between Triple H and whoever he has to face so he can get Jericho on Raw? Which mighty tag team? Which mighty combination of people? Is it Linda and Kane? No, we've done enough of that. Is it Test and an N64 cup? No. It's be serious, lads. Be serious. All right, we will. Tonight, Triple H gets Kai and Tai. Triple H laughs. And then, wait, it's a 3-on-1. Triple H looks concerned. It's Kai and Tai and the Brooklyn Brawler.
Wait.
Yes, it's this match. It's 3-on-1, so they get the advantage early on. And Triple H actually sells for the offense, especially brawlers. Taka Michinoku misses an acai moonsault the outside and hits Funaki. Crowd, thankfully, are getting the joke and are chanting for Brawler. Funaki's first out after a pedigree, and Taka second after missing a crossbody. Earl Hebner tries to stop the choke on Brawler. Got to keep that little storyline going. So Triple H sets up a pedigree, but Jericho runs into Lionsault Triple H, and then Brawler covers to pin Triple H.
Oh, what a moment. What a moment.
I love this. I love this as a kid when I watched it. Triple H doesn't get Jericho on Raw, so he attacks all three low-level dudes after the match. For newer people, this would be like Chad Gable pinning Roman Reigns today. And then it's emphasized about how useless they are by Lawler saying, which one is this at ringside? Is it Funaki? I can't tell.
Jeez.
That's got to be Jerry.
But this win for the Brawler is a moment, up until Triple H batters them all. But it is an iconic moment. The Brawler being lifted by Kai and Tai after defeating Triple H. I think Triple H should have let them have the win and leave. He should have left. let that moment last. But he couldn't. He had to get his heat back. Got to keep Trip strong.
See, I agree with it in this place because neither of these three people have any heat. It's when he was doing this later on to Paul Linden and Brian Kendrick just because he thought it would be funny. It was a problem. So, but you're right. Maybe he should have bitten this problem at the bud and had Brawl and Kai and Ty like put him in a dumpster and dropped off the thing at ringside.
Put him in a suitcase that says 2OVW.
Put him in a suitcase and throw him out like that Bond film where he takes on Nick Knack. Oh, God. One of the most amazing bits of offensive comedy I've ever seen. Anyway, a brawler bleeds afterwards, becoming the Brooklyn Blader.
Hey!
I feel bad I typed that. And then Jericho takes Triple H's limo in a bit that didn't make a lot of sense to me. Hi, I'm taking this limo now. Okay. It's like a whole triangle on GTA. It's like, all right, I limo. Me limo now. Okay, boss. That's all it took. This segues into Tori is trapped inside WF New York. Buy tickets to save her.
They're waiting until they've raised £100 at WWF New York before they release her. So far, they've made £32.
And I think that's it. It's the last time we see her, so I don't think she ever leaves. She's still there at WWF New York to this day.
Some stay. She's,
long
she's,
bought out and
she's still at the bar signing autographs with a massive T.
Yeah. She's one of those really crap ghosts because she haunts the the Starbucks. Over it is. Keeps on referencing, like, ooh, I turned on Kane to get out of X-Pac. And people are like, did you hear something? I was the ninja in 2001. Woo, what?
Ooh, I stood next to Stephanie McMahon once.
I was with Kane, but then I had a Christmas of sex with X-Pac, and I shagged me into liking him, I guess. We didn't really think about that angle too much. Woo!
People mistake me for Tori Wilson until they see which one is which. Ooh.
Ooh. I wrestled in Japan as Terry Power. But if you've seen me wrestle, you know my name should have been Terry Bull.
Terry Power, I got it from a hairdryer.
Is this a start of a new joke? No!
Yes! Tori the Ghost.
But we just did everything she did in WWF.
Tori the Ghost! No way! I'm not getting cancelled! That's gotta be Kane. We'll be back next year. No! It won't! When someone says it's cancelled till next year, that means it's gone forever!
I can't be in the kitchen talking to a ghost of my dead... Wait, are you dead? Ooh. Anyway, a ghost of my former lover. What will my wife say? Are you talking to a woman in there? Oh, no!
That sounds like Larry.
Yeah, my Kane and Guru are getting mixed up today.
That's Guru, be Kane.
I'm Kane, and here are top five games that I've heard of. Banjo-Kazooie and the Ocarina of Time. Ack.
Number four, Wet Tricks. Number three, Penny Races.
Four, Crash Bash. No! Bad memories.
Oh, jeez. Okay, onwards.
All right. We get a recap of Benoit attacking China, someone who interfered in a match he wasn't in, and that makes Benoit a bad dude. Prove me wrong. Oof. Eddie and China talk backstage to Kevin Kelly. China threatens to put an ice pack on Benoit's grind, and it won't be a big ice pack because he has a small willy.
Small willy jokes. Knows,
I think we can relate to China because she also has one joke that she never stops doing. The Rock says it doesn't matter if Benoit puts him in an armbar, a candy bar, or a topless bar. If you're such a good technical wrestler, then technically The Rock is going to beat you all over Fort Lauderdale. six-person main event. It's actually a very fast, hard-hitting match, but Guerrero and Benoit are in it, so who saw that coming? Eddie gets singled out, plays Latino Heat in peril. The Rock gets the hot tag and then tags in China rather than do the people's elbow. China powerbombs Christian for the win as the crowd appropriately goes banana. And I always thought this was weird. Having China at the same level as The Rock, but it makes sense storyline-wise, I guess, and they picked the perfect time for China to finish off the opponents with the powerbomb, and crowd erupted for that, just as much as they did the people's elbow, so well done. Then Shane McMahon attacks The Rock, who chases him to the back. So Benoit cross-faces China again, while The Rock yells, "Get back, Rock, you idiot!" So Benoit scarbers when The Rock realizes he has to come back in and save the day, and Benoit toothily grins from the ramp.
Hello, you.
And that was your SmackDown main event. What were your closing thoughts there, Tom? And
Rock very giving, letting China get the finish on that bit there. I thought Rock could really do with like loosening up a little bit, I think, now I look back on these. Because he's so much more fun when he's a bit more emotive. But he's so stoic in all of this. It's almost like... Maybe that was the whole charm, was the fact that he was just stoic and just very unemotive that the whole run. But I'm excited for Benoit and The Rock. That's a cool new story. I'm down for that. Happy for that. From this week's episode of SmackDown, what did you remember?
Well, that's one easy pick. The Brooklyn Brawler pinning Triple H.
I remembered Val Venus and the entire world getting in to try and help him become the Intercontinental Champion.
You remember that?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. It was a good moment, that. I think just good to see Val Venus with his second world championship. Second Intercontinental Championship. Heaven forfend he was to win the world title.
God.
Oh, my God.
They put a stop to that in 99, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. What did you forget from this particular episode?
I forgot how good Benoit went looking and sounding, because he's been looking all right so far, but he's certainly not looked at the level of challenging The Rock for the title until this week.
This week he
looked
strong.
He definitely looked and sounded, thanks to the efforts of Mick Foley and China.
Exactly. And it's thanks to the efforts of Matthew Gregg that we made it through 2020.
Tom, I beg your pardon. Sorry to interrupt, but what did you forget?
Oh, I forgot. Do you know what? I forgot Ivory and Dean Malenko doing graps about 5 seconds. Like, for a brief moment where I thought we were going to get a technical wrestling match from Ivory and Dean Malenko. That wouldn't pan out, obvs, but for the briefest of times, I thought that was going to be a thing that we were going to get. And who knows? Maybe in 20 years' time, intergender wrestling will be more of a thing. Who knows?
Maybe. I'm very glad that you said something that actually happened on the show. We didn't say, I forgot to talk about wrestling this episode.
I mean, we did that as well. There was, if you can pick out some wrestling in that chat, then that's been great. This has been a wonderful year for us. Not a wonderful year for planet Earth. I should probably rephrase that. This has been an awful year for everybody. But one of the highlights for me has been every week getting together with my friend Matthew, whether it's in real life, which it has been very rarely this year, or via the power of the internet and talking about SmackDown. So thank you for supporting this beautiful podcast and everything else that we do here at Cultaholic. This is the last SmackDown review of 2020. From next week, it is the return of Watch Alongmas. It is myself, Matthew Gregg, Justin Henry from the Classic Raw Review, and a host of other characters, all getting together to watch some particularly awful wrestling. There will be some fun surprises along the way, I can guarantee that. Math, have you had a lovely time?
With 2020? Lord, no. with you? Absolutely, Tom.
Aww.
How's that expression go? Always a pleasure, never a pain.
Never a chore?
Yeah. Doesn't sound right at all. Look, mate, it's always been beautiful. Even with lovely, wonderfully worded bits like this, like I'm butchering now. You're one of my favourite people on planet Earth, Tom, and I know a lot of people. Thank you very much for existing. And I hope that if 2021 continues to be as much of a poo sandwich as 2020, that we are here for each other.
We certainly will be, and we'll be here for you when the rain starts to fall. He is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. I'm back from the portal that I went into. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.